Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo Podcast. Nothing from you.
You haven't introduced me yet.
I'm so how embarrassing.
Come on.
We got Rope Dog.
That's me.
We got me, Hunter. And then we also have a puppy in the studio.
We got another host.
Mm-hmm. She may be whining. If you hear that, that is what that is. She is well loved. Don't let her fool you.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have, in my opinion, our biggest interview.
Yeah, our best one too.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. We got to speak with Casey Roper. What's Casey from?
He has a podcast called The Record Process.
Oh.
And it is from True Level Studios. And he is also the guitar player from The Wonder Years.
One of many, but one of the best.
I'm still in awe that we landed this interview.
Yeah, me too. Roper thought I was fooling him for a while.
I was having a bad day at work, and then Hunter called me. He's like, "You'll never guess who wants to be on the podcast." I'm like, "You're fucking lying to me, bro." He's like, "I'm really not." And then we got to talk to him, and I was like, "Oh, this is real."
Mm-hmm. It was a surreal moment, considering how many times we have talked about The Wonder Years on this show. And just having the opportunity to talk to Casey, which is a phenomenal guitar player.
Yeah.
And he has a lot to say about his podcast and the process of all of that fun
and just
stuff.
Music in general, too.
He was so quiet
before. I know. All right. So I asked, besides us, who or what is your favorite music-related podcast? And you guys said, Patrick Barrel said, State of the Scene podcast. I've only listened to a few episodes of their podcast, but it's very factual, and I kind of enjoy it.
You kind of enjoy it?
Yeah.
Okay. Troubled Rebel of Tiny Falls said, Empty Space Podcast. All the way, Batch and Steph are awesome. They kind of suck.
Batch and Steph?
Yeah, it says Steph.
Well, Steve.
Well, no, it says Steph.
Well, it says Steph, but that's how he probably spells Steve.
Nah.
Because he spells Steven with the PH, like fat with the PH,
ooh.
Dude.
Ooh.
Fat farms.
Maybe he's got a nice booty. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen him in person.
Me either.
But yeah, those guys are bros. They're fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Great dudes.
Yeah. Coffee and Sugar said, we hope to make someone's list. Black heart emoji. They must be another podcast. I haven't really checked them out. But if they are, I'm going to check them out.
Mm-hmm. I'll make sure that Roper does. I'll text him every morning.
Because Hunter won't do it.
I won't. I have so much going on.
He's got too many podcasts.
Empty Space Podcast just said wave emoji and skull emoji. So yeah. Someone's a little conceited over here. Oh my god.
They like their own podcast.
Boo.
We can't. I said besides us. Don't include yourself. No.
Hey, go to the next one, Roper.
This is going to be like a new fucking new segment inside of our listener responses, because we're getting some wild responses.
Mm-hmm.
H. Wang Bo 70 says, X, Y, F, G, L, G, U, B, Z, S, N, Q, J, C, V, L, G, T, K, W, O, T, A, X. I feel like I'm reading like, you know, when you go get your eyes checked.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
gotta read like through the different lenses. That's how I felt reading that.
I really wonder what this was.
It's robot speak, dude.
I guess so. Robots have their favorite.
They said their favorite podcast is definitely us.
Because when I like saw the notification on my phone, I thought it was like a reference, like the A B C D.
No, because we got another one, but I only wanted to include one.
Well,
I mean, it wasn't the same like
account.
Jump. It wasn't the same account, and it wasn't the same comment.
Yeah,
like the ones where they're like, so proud of you. Can't believe you posted.
Yeah, we need more of that. That made us feel good.
Dude, that same robot is just so proud of us. It's great.
And I love that. I need that.
Sometimes you need a little robot encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Especially this time.
You go, beep, boop, you guys are great.
Okay. All right. Let's not waste too much time here.
No.
Let's jump into our new releases of the week.
Okay.
Roper.
Yo.
What? I need some recommendations for some new songs.
All right.
Can you give me one?
Well, this week, I picked Fredo Disco and Disco Inc. with their new EP / re-releases of songs called Pop Punk Ponzi Scheme.
Oh.
The song that I picked, it's an older song, but it can still be new to you guys. And it's called Saturn SUV 2. So it's like a remake of Saturn SUV. Dude, this like remake of this song is so good.
Yeah, no, it's
fantastic.
They have
like amped it up like times 10.
I actually like fell in love with this band when I listened to them, and yeah. For the longest time I apparently did not remember their name.
I was like, because last week we were talking about it and you're like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, you're the one who sent it to me. Yeah,
like, what one was it?
And I've been obsessed with them ever since.
But anyway, yeah, Frito Disco and Disco Incorporated.
Yeah.
Fantastic band. So highly good. Recommend listening to them. And then this week, I chose a little bit of a pop punk, would you say legend?
I would say legend.
They're definitely a staple. That would be a Dashboard Confessional and their new song, Burning Heart.
And what I really want to tell you is that sometimes, not every single time, but probably most times, I wish all that fault was yours, but it was all mine. And since we're being honest for the first time in a long time, I see you everywhere I go. And everywhere I go, I feel the same damn burning heart. The same damn burning heart. The same damn burning heart.
Just a hunk of burning love.
That's Elvis.
Yeah, that's not the song. But this one's good. It's just a nice little calming acoustic track. Vocals are really well done. It's not something that you want to listen to when you want to get pumped up.
No.
But it is a fantastic just vibe. Just something to put on in the background, maybe.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
They stay in the same wheelhouse. They haven't really expanded.
Yeah. I did forget how many of their songs I like, though.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that every time I listen to Dashboard Confessional. Like, before we were recording, I was just like, oh, yeah, they had that banger that was on the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack from back in the day.
Got really excited about it.
Pretty sure that was, like, the first time I ever heard them.
Mm. We got some other notable releases. What do you got?
This week, there wasn't a lot on the list that I knew of. Mm-hmm. Really, but I saw that The Main put out a song with Taking Back Sunday and Charlotte Sands called Loved You a Little, and I'm pretty sure it's just like typical poppy Main song, which you can never go wrong with. These guys are so fucking good. And then you add in Taking Back Sunday.
It's kind of a unique combination.
Oh yeah,
I kind of like that a lot. And then you also wrote down here, we got Carly Cosgrove, which I think is Carly Rae Jepsen and Miranda Cosgrove together.
Isn't Carly Cosgrove the main character of iCarly?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so Carly Rae Jepsen shouldn't even be, like, involved.
Well, I mean...
With their name, I could see where you're going with it, but you're stretching a little bit.
I stretch quite a bit.
But really...
They released a new song called Really Big Shrimp.
The song rules.
Which is a reference to Drake and Josh and The Amanda Show.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. With the Judge Trudy.
Uh-huh.
Bring in the lobsters.
The dancing lobsters. Amanda Show was, like, a great show for kids.
Dude, that show was awesome.
Totally Kyle was.
Kyle's, like, I went to school with at least 4 or 5 Kyles.
Totally Kyles. Yeah. That makes sense.
Dude, the movie theater, or the movie store skits were always my favorite, where they would, like, they'd be like, can I rent X-Men? And then they give them, like, a fake version of X-Men that the whole staff is just, like, in the movie. They're like home videos.
I don't really remember that one.
That shit used to make me laugh.
I remember there was like this sumo wrestler one and like a a Slurpee drink or something. It's a fever dream at this point.
Dan Schneider, funny guy, but he really fucked up some kids, dude.
I mean, literally and mentally. So, and then also one of my favorite bands, Pine Grove.
Yeah,
released their record 11/11.
Yes.
I've had a chance to listen to quite a bit of it. I haven't had any chance to like find favorites. I really do like the vibe they're going with here.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. It's like it's typical Pine Grove, but they've added a lot of, like a heavier style sound to them.
Yeah,
with like Alaska. I love that song.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. So yeah, but those are our new releases of the week. We are sure that there are many more. So we suggest that you go on the Pop Punkers page and check out their new releases they post every week. It's fantastic. We get all our information from there, and you might find some new music that way.
Yeah.
So Roper, are you ready for one of our biggest interviews and something that we were so pumped for?
I was ready for this my whole life.
Your whole life.
Whole life.
Let's fucking kick it then.
Kick it.
Casey Cavalier is a musician, producer, podcaster, and heartthrob of the Wonder Years. He is credited on working with bands such as I Call Fives, Honey Jar, and Great Expectations. He is also a co-host of his podcast, The Record Process, that stems from his studio, True Level Studio. Please welcome the heartthrob, Casey.
You want to know what's very funny about that?
Yeah, please tell me.
So for anyone that's listening along at home or really wherever you're consuming this, may God be with you for the next however long this lasts, because already it's going to go off the rails, because that introduction, all I heard was the beginning of Heart. It froze and then came back on with Throb, and then it glitched through whatever the rest of you said. I have no idea, but I've never... For as much time as I have spent on Zoom, I know we've all spent a lot of time on Zoom recently in the last couple of years, especially, but having gotten into the podcast space, which I think was in there before everything went haywire, I've also been spending an exponential amount of time on Zoom. I have literally never seen that happen. That was like insane. Either this is going to be awesome or this is going to be so bad, because that was crazy. But thank you for whatever it was you said. I'll go back and listen to it on the episode if you guys caught it. I've already folded our hand here. See, you can tell that the podcast medium, I'm just too honest. So I'm just like, yeah, that went to shit. Here we go. But yeah, whatever you said, about half of it's probably true. And the other half, I appreciate you lying.
I no lies here, Casey. It's all true. We Googled everything, so yes. We know it's true. We found it on the internet.
Yes.
Boy, well, then it's definitely not true. yeah. But anyway, nice to be here, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
We got some questions for you, Casey, to kind of start this conversation off. We got to know the story behind True Level Studio. How did it all come to be?
Oh, man. Well, you know, one day I was walking through the woods, and... there was a light in the sky, and it just kind of kept getting bigger and coming to it. No, that's not at all how it happened. Tom DeLonge, if you're listening, I wish that were the case. The real story of how that came to be is kind of serendipitously. So, I guess it's probably like 4 years ago at this point. I had been working on... the craft, as you might say, doing some behind the scenes stuff, just like fun solo music, you know, writing some other stuff outside of Wonder Years, and starting to kind of dip my toe in working with some other musicians on just some fun stuff, you know, a lot of which never really was seeing the light of day back then, actually. But I was still really enjoying digging in a little bit deeper to the engineering and production side of things. And I wanted... a space, anybody that is from Philly or has been through Philly, or has, I don't know, like followed the band long enough to see some of our artwork and would know that Philly is made up of primarily row homes, one of which I did live in, or actually many of which I have lived in over the years. And the thing about those is that they don't yield a whole lot of space or acoustic isolation for doing those kinds of fun sonic crafts. So I had been looking around for a space and trying to find something, you know, a place to kind of drop off my gear where I could still kind of use it so that it just doesn't go to die in the like band storage locker graveyard between tours, which is a lot of times what happens to a good portion of our gear. And if I want it, I'm like, I got to go drive an hour. I got to find the key. I got to dig through this like mountain of extremely precariously placed heavy ass road cases. So I didn't want to do that anymore. And I wanted to have it more accessible so I could use it. And I, you know, just kind of as it happens, a friend of mine who I had toured with a little bit, but never really got to know, it was also a Philly dude. His name's Adam Ackerman. And him and I kind of started a little, I guess, side project, you know, writing some originals, some of those ideas that I talked about that I had had lying around. And unfortunately, that none of that project ever came to fruition, sadly enough. And it was actually we also had a friend of mine, Gary Cioni, who played in Crime and Stereo many years ago. And so we had been jamming, had like three or four songs, and I got to talking with Adam, who also is a whiz when it comes to studio sonics and acoustics. And actually owns a company with my now other studio partner, Mr. Tom Conran, whose name you may recognize if you have listened to The Record Process at all, because he is actually my co-host on that show.
Yeah.
And and that was kind of our, the three of us kind of were all in a similar boat where we wanted a space and were willing to kind of put some time and energy into making it a nice home for ourselves, both aesthetically and also a place that we could kind of make the records that we wanted to make out of, you know, both our own and others. So, and those of other people. So that was kind of it. And we found a spot, that happened to be, actually like, a acoustics consulting client of one of them that was an existing studio, across the bridge in Jersey. And they had it like one of the rooms in that building was formerly a practice space, but wasn't getting used very consistently. And we kind of drew up some plans and said, hey, we could probably turn this into something that we could, you know, mix in and track in. And the rest was history. It was a fun project too. Honestly, it's a pretty large undertaking. It's not exactly slapping a coat of paint on the wall and putting some foam around, you know, there's a little bit more to it. And I learned a lot. And I love it, and I think I'm better for it.
Nice.
You know, but yeah, so that's probably you know, the easiest way to describe its origins.
Nice. Who are some of your favorite artists that you've worked with so far?
Oh man, well, I have to always qualify this because I feel like he somehow wrestles his way onto some of these shows. It's definitely not Drew Conti, the bass player for I Call Fives. but I do love working with their band. I've worked with their band a bunch of times, and being like Jersey, Philly locals as well. And Wonder Years having had some history touring with them many years ago. I really have enjoyed over the last couple years working with those guys. But there have been a number of other records that it's very tough because what walks through the door and you know, where it comes from in terms of a band, it was very varied too. Cause I, you know, putting that space together and then working out of an existing studio, I was not used to getting like actual walk-in traffic, so to speak. Like people are like, hey, there's a studio, I got an album to record. It's like, do you know anything about like what we do or like what, you know, genre or records you've done? It's like, no, but you guys are a studio. Like what's good? I have a record. Can you help me do this? And some of those things were really fun projects to work on. And we were lucky enough to be able to work on the ones that we wanted to. when we wanted to. And beyond that, we did a couple records, like I mentioned, our own records as well, and the Honey Jar record, which we did a couple years ago, is a really cool like indie pop, like kind of like retro sounding record, almost like a modern like kind of Fleetwood Mac style indie.
Nice.
And I loved putting that record together. I mean, the songwriting on it, it's actually my partner, Adam Ackerman, who I mentioned, is actually one of the driving forces in terms of songwriting for that band. And that was also maybe one of my top projects over the last couple years. You know, there's been stuff here and there where I can't take full production credit, but I've gotten the chance to like kind of stretch and even like master some stuff for different bands. And it's been fun. So those would be a couple notable ones that I really over the last couple of years like dug into and loved. I'm sure something is escaping me that I'm like, I'm gonna leave this alone. Oh my God, you know, and a lot of stuff truthfully, and I'm also lucky to say it that my favorite stuff is definitely yet to come, is definitely waiting in the wings and is now like finished or being finished up right now and will have its grand debut this year with a couple different artists actually. So I am more so than in recent years extremely excited for what lies ahead in that realm, so that everybody can actually see and hear when I say things like that Vanity Draft single that we did, or you know, like you know, things like that, that people can go listen to it, because it's like right on the cusp, but it's not quite out now. So yeah, but those are probably some of my faves.
Nice. Do you have like any disaster stories where like it just wasn't coming together?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't like there. I think there's also a kind of a mentality that it's doing that and working with some clients that, like I said, that are just kind of like walk-ins and aren't used to tracking, or are like a really young, really green band and don't know the process too well. And, are kind of learning as they go. There are definitely pitfalls where I've seen somebody in probably every role kind of just melt down, you know? And what's interesting is I kind of know that feeling too, even from doing early Wonder Years records. Doing multiple songs and being in a studio environment is a very different psychological world for a lot of people than they realize. It's like they step into a room or it's like someone hits a red button somewhere in another room and all of a sudden they're just like, oh no. You know, and some really weird physiological things and kind of like psychosomatic things can happen, and I've seen a lot of it. I see, you know, people that are just not getting apart, and you know, you try your best to work around it, and sometimes you're just like, hey, we gotta just call it for the day, because nothing else good is happening with that attitude. And that's also kind of, you know, curating and understanding the vibe and situation that you're in, which I think is something that comes with time and comes with working with a lot of different personalities and understanding that. But yeah, I've seen like full-on meltdowns where people are just like, I'm quitting. I'm never playing drums again. And I'm just like, if I had a nickel for every time I've thought that, or like some of the most incredible musicians that I know probably felt the same way, it's actually not as serious or bad as you probably think it is. And if it is, well, then let's steer into it and figure out how to get through it, because, you know, living in that world where you're kind of doing, you know, a serious like self-doubt and self-deprecating, you know, dance, doesn't help you, doesn't help the song, and doesn't help me, you know. No. But you know, but the first two are the more important ones. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing like, nothing's like exploded, nothing's caught fire. Sadly enough, that would actually be sick. Just if anything, like beyond that, I'm just like, there's probably been some, oh, that's like $5,000 and it's broken now, you know. And once you get past that, like, ooh, you just dropped that mic. Oh God, it's like 40 years old. You know, then you're like, okay, here we are. That even that can be fixed. Okay, cool. Which I've been lucky enough to do some of that over the years. $1,000.
Well, that's good. You should probably invest in some insurance for some of your equipment if that's some of your big fears there.
Yeah.
We've got it. Everything's insured, but the insurance can't really replace some of those things.
Yeah.
You know, sure. One for one. So you got to be careful. And it's like a good like Mr. Miyagi, like Karate Kid lesson of just like patience and like stillness when you're around like really expensive, irreplaceable gear and stuff like that. So I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so we know that season two of your podcast is coming out. So we kind of wanted to steer into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Sure. With season two on the way, I figured, you know, we kind of got an origin story with the studio. Is there a separate origin story with the podcast, or is it just kind of something that happened? Can you give us an idea with that?
Well, like most things, yeah, it did kind of just happen, but there's definitely more thought than that, I think, that went into it. And it is kind of tied in a few ways to the actual studio and the start of that and coming together with, you know, for an obvious reason, my co-hosts on the show. But then also, you know, with the fact that we loved going through all of those records that we were making and really stretching our chops from genre to genre too. And the way we kind of treat a lot of those records is we go in and kind of have like a creative dive workshop on, you know, brainstorming from a pre-production standpoint, what our influences, what kind of, you know, the sonic scope of the record, what are we going to shoot for? What songs are speaking to like different like instrumentation or things to try in that regard. So we kind of had a, you know, would talk through stuff like that and we'd come up with like, oh, well, it's really cool. Like on this record, I feel like they achieved this kind of thing. And I remember hearing a story that they, you know, they had to do that because of this. And so it was really just conversative in nature between the three of us. And then we were like, man, we like tracking and mixing and doing all the, you know, the actual work. But we also kind of just love those conversations, you know, that start out with as well. And so the podcast was a thing where I think it had always kind of been in the back of my head because I'm someone that I love the format and the medium. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, some of which were also a creative impetus for starting this one. There's a great one called Creative Pep Talk. You know, some of them are very musical tinged, some of them are not. But I love that. I also always love, if any of your listeners or you guys are familiar with the podcast called Song Exploder.
Yeah.
Right. And they made it into a Netflix series. It's really well done. And they're more like kind of bite size and more about like, you know, the multi-tracks, but they start to do that. And what we kind of realized, we're like, man, it's cool to talk through the process, but there's so much nuance in each phase of it. Like when you're just starting out writing a song from scratch, where the fuck do those things come from? When you're moving into, you know, figuring out an arrangement, how do you design it in a right way that when you get into track it, it all kind of falls into place and feels good and feels right. So we walked through that and took some of our experience and did that with season one. And that was mostly because we were like, hey, there's some interesting stuff and maybe some substantive stuff that we've seen some of our clients and some bands that we worked with learn from. So let's put it out there. If we're going to have the conversations anyway, why don't we focus our energy and efforts and kind of make a kind of informative walkthrough. And then about halfway through the season, we're like, man, A, we love this. And B, how cool would it be if we like could dive into like a specific record every week and do all of these phases and talk to like one specific voice or perspective about the record, which is where the idea for season two was eventually born. So that's kind of the history of it. And that brings us to now where on February 8th, our first episode, which I just kind of dropped that it will be featuring Derek and Brooks from Mayday Parade, and they're talking about their self-titled record that, well, turned 10 a couple years ago now, but they're also doing you know, a big like album 10-year anniversary tour around that. So I thought it would be a cool time to walk back with them. I love them. They're great dudes. We've toured a bunch with them and they're sweethearts. and super talented. And I thought that would be a really cool place and timely one to kick off this season with. And it was. So, you know, that'll come out in February. And then we'll just start rolling downhill. And we've got a lot more episodes behind that with some guests that are from similar worlds and some from very different worlds from genre and a project standpoint. So we kind of threw it all together and tried to touch on a lot of different dynamics here.
Hell yeah. That sounds nice. Great. I'm actually really excited for that.
Yeah, me too. What have you learned with the Wonder Years that you applied to either the studio and or the podcast?
Literally everything. I wouldn't even know where to begin with that. You know, I think the greatest teacher is just experience and making mistakes. And yeah. Wonder Years has allowed me to do a lot of that, both personally and professionally. So, you know, from a musical standpoint, I've walked through that entire process of collaborating and bringing an idea, you know, from conception to completion, you know, a number of times at this point. We actually just did it with another record that has yet to see the light of day, but will hopefully this year. And you learn a lot each time. You know, it's not like, okay, well, now I've done it, so I know everything. Every time is different. And then there's always a lot of commonality, and you grow, and you, every time we show up to do a record, we're all kind of in a different place emotionally, you know, physically, from an inspirational standpoint. We're listening to different stuff, and that's the same way with every band. And, you know, I kind of take that. And so you learn a lot. And it wasn't until recently, and maybe when we started doing the podcast, that I was like, man, all of this shit is just pouring out of me. I guess I didn't really know that I had digested and taken in so much and cemented so many of these things along the way. So yeah, I mean, I'm extremely grateful for what that band has given me, both in a professional capacity and as far as the gratitude that kind of runs along with that and has, I think, found its way into everything that I'm doing, whether it's the podcast, whether it's the studio stuff, or obviously Wonder Years activities to come.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Wonder Years, I mean, like, there's, I'm sure that, and you guys have been doing it for, what is it? You said it's 2005, right? So
that's too long.
Yeah. It's quite a bit of many years with the music industry and experience with all that. So with that being said, why did you decide to go from musician, not that you haven't stopped that world or anything like that, but why have you decided to go from a musician to more of an audio engineer / producer role?
Well, writing music is hard. you know, that's like the kind of like generic answer, but I love the challenge, and there is nothing more gratifying than capturing a story and writing it in a way that really hits you. So obviously I'm like kind of bitten by that bug long ago. And I think the progression of writing music for Wonder Years, cementing it in some sort of like tangible, like demo form to kind of bring to the band, or, you know, just catalog as I went over the years, and then making the records and seeing how the final products come out and seeing, you know, how much time goes into the demo process. It kind of lapsed across it. And I was like, man, I love this end of shaping these incredible worlds between two speakers, you know? And that is, I think, an art form in and of itself in a lot of ways. That's, I mean, highly related to everything that goes into it, of course. But, you know, I found that as an extension, not that I think by any means I know every trick in the book as far as songwriting and I'm done with that. But I realized that I was like, man, I can take a step back and help facilitate a lot of other artists in finding that incredibly fulfilling moment where you've had a song, brought it together, workshopped it, cut it apart on the drawing board 1,000 different times, and then you finally hit play and listen back to the finished master and are like, have never been more excited about something in your life. And that's part of, you know, the process that I've experienced with Wonder Years a lot. And there's no greater high, honestly. So I said, hey, I can't write a record every like couple weeks, but I can help somebody that has put all of that, those blood, sweat, and tears and that time into their music and their story and their sound, and help them bring that to fruition every month or so, you know, and in a lot of different capacities and ways. So that's kind of where I turned. I was like, man, I'm not like a song factory in terms of like having that every time. But also like people bring different songs and different perspectives and different styles that I would never write in. And so for me, that's actually what keeps it interesting too, because every week, month, I get a new look at something and be like, man, I never would have approached that theme in that way, or I never would have like tried to do that transition there, but it kind of works. Like, and I love it, and it challenges me to lean into those things that aren't, you know, so that I know I'm not just laying back on some of the tropes of my own taste, you know, that I'm like, that I'm stretching as well, which I love. So it's a little selfish in that way, but also kind of, you know, I love, and I do want to bestow that to as many other people as I can, if my presence in what they're doing can help get there, you know?
Yeah. Think how much, like, you probably have a bunch of gratification from all the musicians that have come your way, helping them, like, do something that they clearly care a lot about, or they wouldn't, you know, search all that help out. So I don't know if it's, I wouldn't use the word selfish by any means.
No.
Well, I get enjoyment out of it too. You know what I mean? So, and I think, but just with anything else, I think that that is really important to the relationship and to how it comes out. You know, if I was just here doing it, you know, like for the month, just for like a paycheck or something, and hated every second of it, I think that would be a dumb, because there's easier ways to make money, truthfully, anybody that's working in the music business. And number two, you know, getting the best product means showing up with the best attitude and putting yourself in a position where you can be as not only creative, but as you know, genuine and helpful and trustworthy to somebody else that's kind of like putting it all out there. You know, you guys are in front of mics right now. The first time that you just like hear your voice in front of a mic, you're like, you're used to it now. But if you're a vocalist that's only recorded like one or two songs ever in their bedroom and you go into a studio, it's like, that is a really like very personal thing. And so if you have somebody, and plenty of bands that have toured and showed up to like what I call like the jaded sound guy meme, which is just like clearly doesn't care and is just like, wow, he hates us so much. You know, it's like, no, he wasn't always this way. Some of them are, but, you know, he just lost his way somewhere along, you know, along the road. But that is, you know, I think kind of a big thing too, where I want to get some enjoyment out of it. So I know I always show up just as motivated and just as amped up to whatever, you know, I'm working on that day, because it will affect how it comes out, you know, and the overall experience.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Great way to look at it.
Yeah. It's like that with any job too. Like, you show up with a shitty attitude, then you're going to have a bad day.
Yeah. Well,
that's right. Except in this, nobody can really fire me. I mean, I guess a band could fire me. Right. That is true. But also it's like, there's no boss. They're just like, we're not coming in anymore and be like, okay, right. You know, you know, so it hasn't happened yet though. Thankfully.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah.
Is it more of a creative process or a technical process when creating music with bands?
There's a creativity in the technical, truthfully. And I love that, but you gotta, just like anything else, like all the things at your disposal, whether it's an instrument, whether your instrument is a guitar, drum kit, your voice, or if you're an engineer, the parallels on that, on the other side of the glass, are the same way. The microphones, the outboard gear, the consoles, the DAW, computer, whatever it be, they're tools, and there's, you know, an efficient way to use them for certain things. So knowing that is good, but then also there's unorthodox ways to use them that allow you to get kind of creative. So I think it's, you know, for me, I think also the fact that I was a guitar player. So early on I was experimenting with signal flow and effects, you know, just like buying dumb pedals as a kid and being like, oh my God, this delay is so sick, right? And I think that's also part of it where I started getting fascinated with the endless combinations and ordering and flavors of all of those, right? Which kind of lends itself in a lot of way to the post-production and mixing world as well, and that like sound design world. So I wasn't like showing up completely new to those ideas.
Yeah.
You know, when I started, you know, recording and getting a little bit more serious into it. But I, with a band, dude, I will say this. It often does depend on the band and the situation, in terms of what the overall like beginning approach will be for working with them, where they're at, if they have, you know, hey, I have this idea for a song concept that would be great, but I don't have a single note. Okay, then we're starting from the beginning. Or they're like, hey, we have these five demos that we've been sitting on for 5 years. We love everything about them. We don't want to touch a single thing. We just want them recorded better. And I'd be like, okay, that's the other extreme of that, right? Most bands come in the middle, and I like to work with the ones that at least are receptive and open to ideas. Not because I think my ideas are always better, but because I think that that's a good sign of a healthy opportunity for trust and a good relationship and a good working dynamic too. So that then if you do get in the process and someone wants to bring something up, they're a band that you know, nobody's holding on to things too tightly in an unhealthy sense. So I would normally say I'd like to, if it's a rock band, if it's a pop punk band, we are on, there is pop punk in the title of the show. So we might as well speak to that, and say, if I am working with a band of that ilk, yeah, I want to get in a room and be like, what does the song sound like in your practice space? You know, I want to stand there and be like, let me see if it hits just like as though I was standing right in front of you at a floor show. You know, what does that sound like? How does it come across? What am I getting out of it? Am I like, I feel like I keep being distracted by that drum thing, or that guitar thing is cool, but it's, you know, it's like, it feels like it's out of left field when it comes in there. Those kind of things, like if you're distracting, or if, you know, and then eventually you work through all of those. And before you know it, like everybody in the room should be like, when we get through playing this song, there's that moment of silence where everybody unanimously is like, oh, fuck. You know, and that's kind of what I look for, because that's what I found even with Wonder Years. You know, when we workshop all these section to sections, hey, let's try this section this way and let's loop this. And then you get onto something and then you get to the end of it and you look around. Nobody even has to say anything. You can just kind of see it in the eyes and the general energy where you're like, that was it. We just tried five things. And that sixth thing was the one, we're going home. We're done. That's it. You know what I mean? Song's ripping. So it's finding those moments where I'm like, straight up, I love doing it standing up. Get me dancing. I mix at a standing desk. I do all my production there so that I'm already ready to back away and start dancing. Because truly, like the second you like are just there grooving, that's when you know, hey, this mix is working. Because I'm no longer thinking about all of the different elements. I'm just thinking about the song washing over me and making me move. And that is the same kind of thing that I like to approach those songs with. If you're a real band, I want whatever happens and whatever we do to it to be something that's going to come across just as impactfully live.
Yeah, you're very good about very in-depth yes. answers here, Casey. I never have very many follow-up questions.
it just keeps coming. It keeps pouring out of me. Let's knock them down. Give me another one.
Here we go, baby. So Casey, I know that a lot of people, including ourselves, would consider you very successful in the music industry. Yeah. So we would like to know, what is the best advice you would have for new creators in either a band or a podcast?
Or a podcast. Well, I'm somewhat new to the podcast space myself, so I don't know what advice I can give other than to say I love podcasts, and this is probably just a personal preference. I love the shows that have a takeaway of some point where you can kind of bring whatever little Easter egg or nugget of that show into, if you know, for me into your like creative practice or podcast. But that just happens to be the thing, you know, that it doesn't have to always be that serious. If it's also something where you can like turn your brain off, you know, if it's like the kind of like housewife shows, you know, or weird like dating shit, which I just saw another one that my girlfriend was watching the other night. And I was like, what is this? I was like, where did it, like, there's all like these neon things. They're all sleeping in one room. Like, I don't understand. And I think it's about trying to get people to like cheat on them and like shaming for people for being single. I don't know. It's pretty twisted, but like,
sounds great.
yeah, whatever. I don't know what the name is. Who cares? I don't even really know what I was saying anymore. I just completely lost my train of thought thinking about that show. I would say, like, you know, think about if you're getting into podcasting, who your audience is, right? And what you want them to get out of the show, right? And then kind of try to provide the best version of that, you know, with your own unique voice. And the same thing for a band, right? And sometimes, you guys know, you've been doing this for a little bit. This is, you're on season 3?
Yeah, season 3. Yeah. We've been over it for about a year now. Yeah, so over a year.
Oh, over a awesome. Year.
Yeah. Well, congrats. That's amazing. That's a feat in and of itself.
thank you.
Yeah. And I think so then you could probably, I would hope, agree and find that, you know, you start to stumble into a rhythm and realize what you're doing. You get feedback from people. You see which episodes trend well, you know, which ones, you know, really pull people in. And it's the same way if you're a band, right? Song number one is not going to go gold, probably, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, and that's okay. So that's why normally if you know, shifting it to the band perspective, I always tell people, hey, it's going to take more than like a couple songs to figure out what you do better than anybody else, you know. So go write some bad songs, write some shit songs, because the only way you're going to figure out how to write the good ones that are most uniquely you and give you an actual identity that will rise above all the noise is to do it a lot and figure out, be like, hey, this song overall is not great, but this moment where I did that vocal thing in the bridge, that's actually like, I think, one of the best moments that we've had on recording as a band. Let's lean into that a little bit more, you know, and finding all of those things. And that's what kind of why I love producing too, because sometimes that takes an objectivity from the outside. So that's what I would say is go write a bunch of bad songs. Mm-hmm. And the rest will kind of start falling into place.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually great advice. Yeah. I like that.
Hunter, go write a bunch of bad songs.
Don't worry, I'm on my way. I've had plenty of bad songs.
That's right. The worse, the better, I guess.
There you go. How much of a band's success is contributed to marketing?
Well, interestingly enough, based off of that, I guess I'll piggyback off of the last answer and say marketing is only as effective as the product that you're marketing. In this case, if the product is a band or is music, it's only going to be as effective as, you know, the input material that you're given, right? So if there's a really unique angle, right? So say we're talking about, you know, marketing in the conventional like commerce sense of you have this product and you are trying to increase awareness or, you know, you have a specific set of goals for a campaign, right? If that product is a great product and there's nothing else like it out there, then your job in terms of marketing it is to just make people aware of why it's that good, of what it does, or, you know, of what about it is special and why they need it or why it'll make their life better. Because that's ultimately what you're trying to like get across is, hey, you should invest in this because it will make your life better. The same thing with the band. Honestly, it's like you should invest in us because we will make more music that you will also like, which will then make your, you know, your life better and your experience better and give you a sense of community and all of those things that kind of come along with music fandom. So to that I say, it is good, but if you notice out there, and also I would venture to say that this kind of toes into the world of influencers and, you know, viral social media accounts and performers, the ones that have garnered a really big following and made a splash, are not just the ones that are like the best at SEO, search engine optimization, and or like running digital ads. They're the best that they're the ones that are also the best at knowing which pieces of content to run, which song clips to run, and how to make content that puts forward the unique parts of what they do really well. Right. So everybody, a lot of times too, now it's interesting, and I've kind of come around on this when we talk about, you know, like everybody's like, well, now all these like influencers that have like millions of followers on social media, they're like trying to get into the music game or like start a pop punk band. And, you know, it's all there. It's like, you know what? They are doing the same thing that all bands try to do. They just do it in reverse. They figured out who they are and what they do really well and why people will gravitate towards them. And then they go figure out the music stuff. A lot of bands figure out the music stuff, get it really good, and then really flounder trying to figure out how to connect otherwise with their audience online or on platforms, you know, through pieces of content. So to that, I say it's just like, I don't know. No hate, just a curiosity on all of those things. And I think that's a really good example of knowing yourself. And the deeper you know yourself, and this is why a lot of people are like, signing to a label will not guarantee you success. But what labels are often very good at is looking at a band and saying, this is the angle that I think we should play because this is what sticks out about the band in a really unique way, right? Which sometimes bands don't see because they want to see themselves in a different light, you know? Sometimes it's as simple as being like, hey, we see ourselves as a band that sounds like this. And then somebody comes along and just like, but all of your songs are like right in the wheelhouse of this other end of the genre. You've just been putting it in front of the wrong audience. That's, you know, that's the hiccup here. It's not that the music's bad. It's just the wrong people are listening to it and they're never going to, you know, bite on any of this. So I think that's probably how I would tend to view the success of, you know, of music or of a music career when it relates to marketing.
Okay. We kind of struggle with trying to figure out how to market ourselves and stuff online. So that's some pretty good advice.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So we've heard a lot of your future plans for the podcast. So we're going to go ahead and skip over that question. but this is, you know, this is just for our own amusement.
Yes.
But can you tell us anything at all regarding the new Wonder Years record?
Yes, it is a group of songs. Beyond that, I will say, you know what? I'll go even further. I'll say it is what I believe to be our best group of songs and our most Wonder Years group of songs. And I mean that in the sense of everything that we've just been talking about. We've had 15 plus years to figure out what our identity is, sonically, musically, thematically. And I think we fired on literally every one of those cylinders harder than we have with any other record. And of course, I'm biased. And I think there's a part of part of every band that goes into every record thinking that this will be their best record. And you hope that the period between when it's done and then when people hear it, that they can sit with that. And it is a really enjoying period. I listened to it in the car the other day. And I mean, my girlfriend almost started crying. She was like, oh my God.
Damn. I want to cry.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I know. Right. And I'm just like, I wrote it and I'm still just like, you know, of course I'm biased. Of course I like it because I, you know, was part of it, you know, coming to fruition that way. But, I guess all I can say is that I am so excited and I know I'm not alone. I know there are five other guys out there that feel the exact same way. And everybody around us that has heard any of them, I will say this for whatever it's worth. Maybe they're lying to us. Maybe they're just too nice and don't want to hurt our feelings. But everybody else that I've showed it to that knows us as people, as musicians, and you know, as the career we've had as the Wonder Years, has said the same thing. So take that as you may.
All right. We're excited. Can you tell us one of the track titles?
No, I can't do that just because we're in an amorphous stage where I would, you know what would happen? I would tell you one and then we'd go and have like a switcheroo, or Dan would be like, I was thinking about it. I think I'm going to go with the other title, or, you know, something like that. And then you'll be like, he lied. That wasn't, he just made up a title. And be like, it was working title number two, like 8 months ago. So, you know, sure. But we're pretty close to rounding him off. But no, I'll leave that be a little secret, because I always like seeing track listing stuff, even though I know some people don't care anymore. Just being like, wait, what does this song sound like? Or holy shit, you know, like, so I kind of love that moment a little bit. So I'll leave it there for anybody as just another kind of like reveal, so to speak. But it, you know, hopefully it will not be super long before you hear something off of it. Probably, you know, middle of the year, I would imagine.
Okay,
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'm clocking in my calendar now. Casey, yeah. I know that you have very limited time here. If you can't do it, that's completely fine. But we have a lightning round real quick. It would take probably 3 minutes if you.
Well, if it's a lightning round, then let's be on with it. I mean, it must be super fast, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's just one word or one word answers.
We're going to hold it to that. Hold it to its title.
All right. Let's do it. First favorite band.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Don't
the clouds just parted. Yeah, that's going to be tough. Ooh, honestly, I'm going to say a really weird one. Dolly Parton.
All right, I'll take it. Least favorite ice cream.
There is no bad ice cream. This is a trick question, and I don't like being tricked. Ooh. If I had to, I would say, like, dude, I do love a good vanilla, though. Fuck. Okay, fine. Vanilla, but you guys are assholes. Pistachio is the best flavor.
Okay. All right. Who has the worst band mascot?
Who's got band mascots? Other than, I mean, no,
you could skip.
Okay. Skip. We'll come back to it.
All right. Okay. All right. Go for it, Robert.
What's your favorite, or who's your favorite band to go on tour with?
Oh, God. Well, once upon a time, it was Fireworks, and it still is Fireworks, even though we have not toured with them in a while. So those will always be our true ride or die brothers.
Nice.
Love them so much. And the band is stupidly incredible. If you're listening to this show that is named for the genre that they pretty much like broke the mold of, yes, and you have not listened to Fireworks, turn this off right now. I'm not going to say anything else that's like riveting. Go listen to the entire Fireworks discography. That's a better use of your time.
Yes.
All right. Most underrated instrument.
Trombone.
There we go.
I'm biased again. I did play it as a youth, and it is. It just has a very unique color. It sits in a lot of mixes, and it plays a very powerful role in an orchestral setting. But I feel like nobody actually gravitates to it. I know this because I was always tasked with playing trombone and everything in high school because there was a shortage of trombone players. So yeah, that's my answer, and I'm sticking to it. Oboe's also fun, though. I can't play it.
Who has the worst farts in the Wonder Years?
Well, this is a spicy question because I don't want it to come back on me. I don't know. Honestly, it's all bad, and it honestly we're all pieces of trash, truthfully. So I truly can't pick one, because the second I pick one, like, still this many years later, I'll be surprised with, you know, like, I'll just be like, after like 15 years, I didn't think there was something worse that could come out of your body, and you have prove me wrong yet again. Touche. So yeah, no, we're all piles of garbage.
All right, six-way tie there. What's your favorite fictional world?
Oh man, favorite fictional world. This is good. So there are times like this that I wish I was more of a gamer, because I'm realizing more and more that there are some incredible world building things out there that I just truthfully I don't have the time to get into, but I know I would love, and because I hear the way people talk about them, and it's so incredible. I'm going to say The Sims, though, as a nice throwback, because I feel like maybe you didn't see that one coming.
I did not, but what's your favorite Wonder Years lyric?
And you can say one off the new record. We won't tell.
Yeah, we won't know what you're talking about.
You're like, that's not a lyric. truly, they probably are. Some of them probably are off this new record.
Oh,
there's some. Damn. There's some. I'm thinking of one specifically. It's very good. they're just like, you fucking asshole. Man, I do love. I do love Funeral, but also I feel like that's a cop out because everybody is just like, you know, because that hits a lyrical, pun intended, high note there for the record. I do love the opening line of there, though. Actually, can't see it, but in the next room over, when we did the Oxford Pennant collabs, we did one of that lyric. You're just trying to read, but I'm always standing in your light. And I just kind of love the charm of that starting a song with that. I think it's great, and I've always loved it, and I always really like that song. So that's probably one of my favorites, yeah.
Oh, what's your worst lyric? Or what? No, what's your worst habit? I'm so sorry.
Honestly, right now it's oddly Diet Coke. and not eating on time. I get really carried away with, I get too ingrained in what I'm doing, and we joke that sometimes, like, if I didn't live with somebody else, I'd like never come up for air and I'd have no concept of time because I'll just be like, I'll like work right through lunch sometimes and be like, it's 5:30. I guess I'm having dinner instead of lunch now. and the same thing with, you know, with dinner. Sometimes that's a thing that doesn't happen. So that's not a great habit. And I try not to like make excuses to be like, oh, well, it's fine. I'm getting stuff done. I'm working. It's like, no, you got to take care of yourself too, because that will weigh on, you know, what you do and the quality of life and output. So that's probably my worst habit right now while I've been at home for the last couple months.
All right. Cool. This is our last one. Who gets the aux cable in the Wonder Years?
Oh, man. Whoever's driving and or co-piloting. truly, that was always the rule in the van touring days. If you're up there, especially late night drive, it's you and your co-pilot. And it's interesting too, we've had some years, I mean, hell, I know way more like Mountain Goats records in depth than I ever thought for someone that like never owned any of them. I just know all of them. Same thing with the Hold Steady. Whenever Soup would drive or would be, riding shotgun, those were like some of his like go-to. And I, to this day, I think I love them because I was just like in the van asleep or like on a bench, like traveling the country at that time and place. So I'm just like, those were like the soundtrack of everybody's like picks, you know, depending on what shift they were. And then like, oh, you have the overnight shift. Cool, you got to listen to something extra abrasive to stay awake. That's the answer. Whoever was driving.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool, man. All right, well, that's all we got for you, Casey. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
If you want to promote anything real quick before you leave, go for it. But we had a blast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you touched on it. Check out, if you're interested, The Record Process, the season 2, which is coming up very soon. We've got some cool episodes. If you are a Wonder Years fan and you're listening to this, I promise you there are at least a few episodes ready to go in the next couple months that you will really like. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anything else, my website, caseycavalier.com, you can find out there, or, you know, send me a message or a note, or just find me on Instagram. You know, I'm at case_rock. I check that a lot more. That seems to be my platform of choice these days. Haven't yet had the time to really like make a splash over into TikTok, but it's, you know, I'm busy not eating dinner or lunch.
So you're actually working.
Yeah, let them eat, guys. Yeah. Come on.
So sorry for all you on TikTok that are like, where is he showing up? I know there's a lot of you. Thank you so much, gents. This was great. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely, Casey. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers, fellas. I'll talk to you soon. Sorry, I don't laugh at the right time. We'll be right back.
Roper, what'd you think, man? How was fucking Casey?
I was kind of hoping he'd stay.
Yeah, I would too. Wouldn't it be great if we just called him every week and be like, hey, are we going to do this again? Or
he's like, no, I actually have work to do, guys. We're like, ah, sad face. Yeah,
depressing. That's but okay. He was so cool, so nice. He called us assholes, really like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not every day one of your heroes calls you an asshole.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
It's going to be something that I hold on to for the rest of my life.
Yes.
He would not disclose any of the song names off the new record, but I tried for you guys. I wanted to have like one little piece of exclusive information on, but I
know, but
it's hard to dig on something like
he
that.
He said it's the best collection of Wonder Years songs to date.
I'm really excited.
I'm nervous.
I because I'm like, they can go either two routes. Either they can go more towards their like earlier records that people really enjoy, or like continue down the route that they're going now. I kind of think that's probably what they will do, like an evolution of Sister Cities.
Yeah. You know what I think after they released those two singles last year, I think they might blend a little more of that style in.
I bet
with
they
the,
do as well.
Yeah, because those two singles were phenomenal.
They were like amazing.
Yeah,
like some of my favorite Wonder Years songs.
Oh yeah, actually,
I go back to them constantly.
Yeah.
So whatever they have planned for us, we're pumped. We're really excited. Sounds like mid time this year we'll get our first single from what
I
he was
hope
telling
so.
Us.
Yeah, he said sometime in the middle of this years, so and I'm excited for his second season of his podcast to come out.
Yeah, I've been catching up on his first season.
Yeah, that whole concept of him breaking down full records with the actual artists that made those records, it sounds very interesting to me. It's like Chris DeMakes but kind of on steroids.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and he has like the I'm he says they're gonna be doing a bunch of different genres, but I kind of hope that they stick more towards what we're doing here.
I think,
but that's just I mean that's
so I think he will definitely branch out to other artists, like the more and more like success that he gets with that podcast.
Sure,
but like us, you like stick to what you know right away and then build off of that. So and he's probably got millions of connections out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Being in the scene for so long.
Yeah, like 15 some years, a little longer than that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Roper, as much as we love to talk about Casey and the Wonder Years, let's go ahead and jump into our up-and-coming band of the week.
Yeah.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree and any and of all of our social medias. I kind of fumbled over that, but I caught it.
That's okay. There.
Now this week, Roper, we got All Along.
All Along, All Along.
Okay. With their song Alchemy.
Yeah.
This is my favorite bio. It is happy sounding songs for sad people.
Dude, that sounds like it's tailor made for us.
It does. I love that, and I love how short it is. Yes. I fumble on my words. There's a lot of times where I will edit out what I say because I fuck it up constantly.
Yeah.
Now, what's the story behind Alchemy? The song is dealing with never ending frustrations of trying your hardest and still failing. We have all been there, people.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking rough. It's rough out there. But anyway, Roper, let's fucking... can I do the kick it part this time?
You got to do it properly.
How about we do it at the same time? 3, 2, 1.
Kick it!
What the fuck is going on? I don't know, but I can't seem to read through cryptic lines. I don't know. Can you please help me to understand? Stay or go. It's all the same. It's all the same. You got me all fucked up. Now I can't shut up. Stop.
I like that song.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was fun. It was fun. I'm just trying to remind me, like trying to remember who they reminded me of. Do you have any idea? Like what would you say? Dollar Signs is who I'm thinking of.
I don't think I've ever heard Dollar Signs.
They're another fun. They have this song called Saturday, but it's like Sadder Day.
Oh.
And it's one of my faves. Really like that one.
Yeah, they really give off that, like in that style of Midwestern emo.
You think it's Midwestern emo?
But it's like, it doesn't have like the math rock guitars to it.
Yeah.
So maybe production wise, it kind of sounds that way to me, but it's still very catchy.
Yeah, it's catchy. It's fun. It's like energetic.
Yeah.
It's the best part. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'm really proud of you guys.
Thank you all along.
Mm-hmm. All along. I hope you move along the way you do. All Along only has a total of 45 monthly listeners.
Bro.
Unacceptable.
God damn it.
Everyone get off your rear ends and give this band a shot.
Or sit on your rear ends and put some headphones in.
That also works.
And
you don't have to listen to it standing up, that's for sure.
Preferably you should, though, because it'll get you going.
Exactly. Get shake you a little grooving. Bit of the booty going.
Yeah, man. Your buns. Shake your buns.
Okay.
Why do you hate me? if you guys would like to reach out to us at any point in your life, we're at PPES Podcast. That is PPES Podcast on Facebook. I don't know why I almost fumbled the word Facebook. It's like, it's been around for 10 years. Like
I think more at this point.
Yeah, longer than 10 years.
Sad, very sad.
It's sad. It's gross.
Now it's the metaverse.
Yeah, dude.
Find us on the metaverse.
On the meta?
You can see our, what's it called? Like the little guys that represent you.
Our avatars?
Avatars, yeah.
Oh, dude, my avatar is going to be the Iron Giant.
Mine's just going to be a gnome with a guitar.
Dude, I'm thinking we're going to be like full Ready Player One in like 5 years.
I'll give it 10.
It's either that or else we're going to die.
Well, death ain't too bad.
I'd rather die in VR, though, and then like be able to respawn, so.
Not opposed. Yeah. Our reality could just be one big video game.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen
that Matrix dude killed his whole family? Because okay. He thought this was... Oh, yeah. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Spotify. If you can't find us on any of those sites, just go check our, our link tree in our bio.
Tree. You got a nice link tree.
Yeah.
I made it. Please
you did.
Use it.
Did. It's easily accessible.
Our OnlyFans is not on our link tree.
No. Mm-hmm. You got to search for that.
Yeah, you got to find
it. Search for those.
It's just Roper putting his feet in pies.
Yeah. Feet pie. Feet by or 96.
What the fuck are you saying?
It's my username, dude.
Oh.
Feet pie 96.
Feet pie 96. We should do that.
Dude.
Just put your feet in pies.
Wonder how much money we could make for that. Dude, we could probably fund the whole podcast.
We could. It's not super expensive to fund the podcast. But it is money.
Well, you think about it. We get like a $4 pie from Hy-Vee and then...
You just put your feet in it. And then if you guys pay extra money, you get Roper put his buns in it. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this. We had such a fun time talking with Casey.
Yeah.
If you guys have any suggestions for who should reach out for future interviews, let us know.
Yeah.
Send us a little DM. A little DM. If you're in a band, maybe, just maybe, if we like you enough, we'll have you on the show ourselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes we struggle to find interviews because it's not our main priority here, but we do enjoy them.
Yes.
We get very anxious as soon as they start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm anxious like the whole week before. Like,
oh, really?
Because I'm worried that we're not going to have any good questions.
I'm just more worried that like our gear is going to fail somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's happened before and it was like, oh,
yeah.
God. Or my internet's just going to cut out.
Yeah.
As you can hear in the beginning of our episode.
That was funny.
That was like the only little glitch we had. So
yeah, thank
that was
God.
Very fortunate. But thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, follow us on everything.
Oh, yeah. You could. I found out that you could rate us on Spotify.
Oh, you can rate us?
Yeah.
You guys should give us at least a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
When we get a little bit better, you can give us a 5.
A little more than 2, though.
Yeah. I don't want like a 1 or 2.
Give me like a 3 or... Actually, no. Give us a 4 or 5.
Four or 5. I feel like we deserve an 80% or higher.
Yeah. I found that the other day. I was like,
oh, really?
Oh, the star system.
Did you give
system?
Us a 5-star?
Yes, I did.